Go ahead and get your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is part, not part 2, but number 2 in the series that we started last week. This message is titled, Your Body's Language. Now, I said to you last week, and we looked at the subject of who's controlling your soul. And whoever is able to control your soul will determine your destiny. I said that to you. It's the truth. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. That's what it translates in Greek, psuche. We get the word psyche and psychology and psychiatry and psychiatric and all those words from psuche. But it has to do with the mind, the will. You could put it this way. Your will is your chooser. I think that brings it kind of where the rubber meets the road. You're a chooser. You choose to do things, and that's your will getting involved. That's that part of your soul. Your mind, will, and your emotions. And emotions are okay. You ever see somebody that has no emotion? Emotions are from God. Jesus went into the temple one time, saw the money changers and all the dishonest junk they were pulling within the temple proper. And what did he do? He began to flip over tables. There's another one of the accounts in the gospel said he saw what was going on. He went out, he sat down, and he braided a whip. Search that out. It's in the Word. So he actually pre-planned going back in there and putting the thump on them. There was some emotion. Emotions are from God. Emotions are wonderful. You ever feel emotional? You watch something, you see. I remember the day our son was born, and when I told you I held him in my hand. Emotions. Those of you who have been through that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When I stood and preached my dad's funeral, there was some emotion. I've done others, of course. Emotions get involved. You can be very happy. I've been sad before. I've been excited for something, and other times not so excited about something. Emotions are from God, but they're not what we ought to base our decisions on. Emotions should get involved in your process of making decisions. But the emotions should not be what drives you making a decision. You get all emotional about something. We've got a family that's over in Branson this weekend. And I said, don't let them catch you in the moment. And you get emotional about it, about some property. You know how that goes? Anybody ever get hooked on something like that? They start, or a car that you know you shouldn't be trying to buy, and suddenly you're in too deep? Or we'd really like to have this house, and now your emotions start getting involved, but then the thought of the huge electric or gas bills and the cost of the house, you might be able to make it, but by the skin of your teeth, not a good place to be, amen? Don't let emotions drive your decisions. You cannot let that happen. People in their lives need to come to this one basic conclusion, and that is you today are a product of the choices that you have made up until this point. Now, that sometimes people say, well, it's not my fault that I am the way I am. It's my parents' fault. It's my upbringing. Always shifting the blame shifting. You've heard of that already. You know, it's their fault. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I grew up on the other side of the tracks. What's the other side of the tracks? It's the other side of the tracks, right? Well, I didn't have all the advantages. People want to shift the blame off of themselves and put it upon somebody else so they have a reason for their failure in life. And we've got to not fall into that. We need to understand right off the bat, we are a product of the choices that we have made. And our choices have been influenced, our soul, the chooser, the will has been influenced either by the Holy Spirit through our human spirit or the devil through the voice of the flesh, the body. Which is it? Now today we're going to talk about your body's language. And your body has a language. There are things that your body does. I mean, good night. So soul control will be this. You will either, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions will either be controlled by the Holy Spirit in or through your human spirit. You know, just back up for a second. We let off last week with 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, that I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the day of the coming of the Lord. You remember that? So you are a tripartite being, three parts, spirit, soul, and body. God starts on the inside, which is the more important, works to the outside. A lot of people quote that in reverse, your body, soul, and spirit. Most of the time, that's somebody who's body-minded. We don't need to be body-minded. We should be spirit-minded. Okay, so your soul is either going to be controlled by the Spirit of God in your spirit man, okay, or by the enemy who ministers or moves through the voice of the flesh and the language of the body. Now, I tell you what, I don't want to be controlled by my body. I was thinking on this. There are people I know and have been around and have seen, others I don't know, but I have seen the diligence in their life. They don't even know Jesus, and they're more diligent than a lot of Christians. Have you seen it? A guy that wants to look good, so he goes on this bodybuilding deal, and he disciplines his life, and he's so driven by that. He's so body conscious. He does everything he can and will pay the ultimate price in his life to look good, and everything's about his body. Or a woman can be doing that. And I've seen the world be very diligent. That is a principle about diligence producing results. Now, for the Christian, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs 10, verse 4, praise God for it. But diligence always reaps a reward, whether it's a Christian doing it or a sinner. Now, the sinner is tending unto death, and they're not working for the right boss and all of that. But the fact is, diligence is rewarded. So, where are you? 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Well, I'm not there yet. So, your body has no contact with God. This is something that you need to realize. Your body has a language of its own, and your body has no contact with God. Now, think about that for a minute. Where does God speak to you? He lives and dwells in your spirit man. The spirit of man, the Bible says, is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts. What does that mean? He's going to lead you by his spirit within your spirit. Now, some of you say, but doesn't the Bible say that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Yes, it does say that. Literally, it reads your body is the holy of holies of God. But what that means is your body houses your spirit. And inside your spirit is where God dwells. Your body literally in that respect has become the holy of holies of God. And Paul mentioned it in 1 Corinthians 6 and in 2 Corinthians 6 that you're not to take that body and join it to a prostitute. You don't abuse and use your body for ungodly things. That's the place where you have received Christ into your spirit, man. And your body should not be dictating what you do. Who's the god of this world? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says that it's the devil. And he blinds people's eyes lest they should see the glorious light of the gospel. So the devil is the god of this world, and your body functions in this temporal, changeable world in the sensory realm. Your body has a language. Your body has a voice. And you need to recognize how your body speaks. You have to know that. You have to know exactly how your body will speak. Now, I'm going to read this to you first out of the King James, and I'm going to read it again out of the Amplified Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 7. King James is very brief, actually. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this in the Amplified Version, man, it amplifies it all right. It brings it out in a whole different light, in a more understandable way, if you will. Verse 7 in the Amplified Version reads this way, that you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace. Now, what is that? Dakes, I have a Dakes version. I was looking in it last night. He makes the point of that pointing back or forward, literally, in the book of 1 Corinthians, to chapter 12, where the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are. They're called gifts in English, but actually manifestations is what they are, phanerosis. That's what I was talking about before. And he's saying that you should not come behind in any way, shape, or form regarding letting the Holy Spirit manifest through you. Okay? The anointing, which is a synonymous term with the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit, that presence of God in you, you're anointed. Do you hear me? You're anointed. You have been anointed. The power of God has come in on the inside, changed you. You are a new creation in Christ. That anointing lives, dwells, and abides on the inside of you. The problem we have is learning how to get that anointing to minister through us. And then actually in itself as well, minister to us. So he talks about the special endowments here, that you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any special spiritual endowment. And then he says, or Christian grace. I like that. Or Christian grace. Here's what you need to get from that first portion of that verse. The anointing should work through us. Number one, the anointing should work through us. He should be able to manifest himself through you to others. Now, the manifestations, the phanerosis of the Holy Spirit are not for you to live by. Do you understand? They're not for you to live by. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, the just shall live how? Not by the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, but by faith. So the just will live by faith. You walk by faith. That's how we function. The manifestations of the Spirit will flow through us, but they are for others. They're for others. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a manifestation of the Holy Spirit be for you. It can happen. But the majority of the time, it's through you for others. I've had words of wisdom and knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues and interpretation of tongues, prophecy. I've had special faith before. There were different occasions where special faith happened and people got healed instantly in the prayer lines. When I was telling you about the children with the worms, I'm thinking about the time a guy I witnessed to him on the street, he is drunk as a skunk. You know, that can be a dangerous thing to witness to a drunk. You know that? Oh, how can that be? If the power of God's... Hey, come on, just lighten up there. Hold on a second. It can be because you don't know if they'll become belligerent over it all. Yeah, but I know my authority. Yeah, well, this was a pretty big guy. But the Lord said, witness to him. I did. I said, can I pray for you? I prayed for him. I laid hands on him. He was out in the street, right on the park lawn up in Wisconsin. And we have park lawns up there. You know, you have a sidewalk, and then you got a section of grass, you know, probably from here to the wall wide with trees. And I had him on the park lawn on Evergreen Boulevard. And I remember I laid my hands on him, and he got slain in the spirit. People probably thought, what did that guy do? Because cars were going by, and this guy's laying on the ground. I got my hand on him. People, I can see him out of the corner of my eye slowing down, and I'm praying. And he opens his eyes. And I'm telling you, he had been in a bar fight. It was early in the afternoon. In Wisconsin, the bars are open, whatever. But he had cut, had been bleeding, couldn't talk, was walking. Obviously, he was inebriated, obviously drunk. And laid hands on him. He got slain in the spirit. He opened his eyes, and he started talking normal. He sobered up instantly when the power of God hit him. I've seen that kind of thing happen. He got saved. It was a long direction. I directed him to a church, and I never saw him again because I wasn't living there at the time. But the fact is, the power of God will move, and there will be special manifestations, but most of the time, those are for other people. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom that the Lord has used normally or about others and so on. But so the anointing should work through us. That's that phanerosis. There are 9 different ways that can occur. It's in 1 Corinthians 12. But it also should work on us. That's that charis. That's that grace. That's that unmerited favor should work on us. The anointing should flow through us to others. In other words, you're an ambassador, and you're supposed to be used, and you should be able to lay hands on the sick, and they recover, cast out devils, do these things. But then that anointing should be working on you on the inside, teaching you and showing you how to appropriate the rights that are yours through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, you walking in health, receiving your healing if you need healing, walking with all your needs met, God prospering you. Of course, that's all wrapped up in salvation. Amen? Sure it is. Sure it is. Thank you, Lord. So, the Lord should be the one who's controlling all of the decision-making processes that you go through every day of your life. Do you hear me? He should be the one controlling it. Now, the latter part of verse 7 in the Amplified Version brings out the fact that this is going to happen. This, the power of God flowing through you, the power of God flowing to you and in you. Look at the second half of verse 7 here in the Amplified. Let me read it one more time. That you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any spiritual, in any special spiritual endowment. Those are the phanerosis. Or Christian grace, that's the unmerited favor of God, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating in your souls by the Holy Spirit while you wait and watch, constantly living in hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and life, excuse me, and his being made visible to all. It needs to be working in your soul. In other words, the soul is the tipping point. You've got the Spirit of God who dwells in your spirit, man. You've got the enemy who's going to use the voice of the flesh. And he'll try to get you to do things and get control of your thought process. Because if he can control your thought process, he can determine where your destiny is going to end up. You are a product of the things that you have, decisions that you have made, like it or not. Every decision that we make will have a consequence. Amen. And if your decision, the choice that you made, was being heavily influenced by the flesh and the devil, somebody say, I don't like to think like that. Well, get used to it, because your body doesn't have any contact with God. It's your spirit that has contact with God, and your soul needs to be renewed with the Word of God. Is your soul going to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit, or is your soul going to be messed up with the devil speaking to you? Now, that's what we have to determine. Who are we listening to? Who's the one that we're listening to? That's what I want to know. Who's talking to you? What's talking to you? Is it your body? Or is it the Spirit of God in your spirit? And a lot of Christians don't know the difference, tell you the truth. It's really true. And I'll tell you this much. You're going to have supernatural help to bring about whatever choices you make. It'll work on the side. If you choose to get into the Word, you choose, you want to be free of that bad habit. You want to be free of what the enemy's been trying to do in your life. You want to get free from that. Well, you choose to go after the things of God, the Lord will supernaturally get involved. Nobody can deliver themselves. Nobody can set themselves free from things. I mean, people try, but they can't. You need the power of God. But on the other side of the ledger, the devil will get involved when a person makes a decision that, oh, okay, I'll try that. I'll try that one more time. I'll go with them one more time. We'll go to the bar together, or we'll go out and get high together, or, you know, whatever. And, boy, he will make sure that every bad thing that can come about is paraded in front of you to test you and to tempt you and to try you and to pull you. He's going to supernaturally, on the opposite side, try to pull you into that way of thinking. Do you hear me? Yeah, this is where we live. This is where we live. So I'm going to give you some things about your body's language. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. You're in 1 Corinthians 1. Go to 15. 1 Corinthians 15. The first thing is outlined here. Verse 47 is the one I want to read. And again, I am going to pull it up in the Amplified as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll look at verse 47. Let me read it in the King James first. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Who was the second Adam or second Adam? That's Jesus, right? The Bible speaks of that. The second blood of God. Adam, Adam meant the blood of God. God's blood, and God created him pure. He did. But the first Adam bit on the temptation and ended up ruining it for everybody thereafter. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47 in the Amplified reads this way. The first man was from out of earth made of dust, right? And then it says something kind of interesting. Earth-minded. The second man is the Lord from out of heaven. That's, again, talking about Jesus. Verse 48 says, now those who are made of the dust are like him who was first made of the dust, earth-minded. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven, heaven-minded. Now, your spirit is heaven-minded. That's the part of you where God resides, on the inside. The body is earth-minded. Write this down. The body will never point you in the direction of serving the Lord. Never. The body will find excuses to avoid hearing the word of God. Your body will find excuses. There are some today lying in bed who should have been up and going to church. Now, there are a lot online, watching online, and we understand that. This is a little different time. But the fact is, the body will say, oh, look, man, you had a rough week. You need your sleep. You don't need to go to church. That's not the Spirit of God in your spirit telling you that. That's the body. The body has no contact with God. The body will tell you things totally opposite of the Word of God. I mean, if it'll always encourage things that pull you away from God. So when you recognize how the body talks to you, then you'll know, that's my body. That's not God. It shouldn't be that hard to determine, but yet at times, it seems like it is. Because we reason things out. Now, who's got control of the reasoning here? See, that's the issue. Your body has a loud voice, and it wants to always go opposite of the things of God. It'll always tend to the flesh. It's all about the body. It's all about what makes that body feel good. And so we have to understand the body is earth-minded. Earth-minded. That's that one that was created out of the dust of the earth. You realize that you were made out of dirt. You are made out of dirt. And when you die, you're going to return to dirt. It's not a nice thought, is it? I guess we're all dirt bags, right? really, literally, that's what we are. We are this fleshly house that's made out of dust, out of dirt. God created it. It's a wonderful creation. I mean, how we ever came up with that, you know. But you were made from the dust of the earth, and back to the dust of the earth you will return. So I have to realize that my body is earth-minded. My spirit man that receives the word of God, has God's presence in it, is heavenly-minded. The spirit is always going to pull you in the direction of the things of God. When you start thinking about things from the word, the other day when that word came to me about the reins, letting go of the reins, and then the Lord opens the scripture to me, I mean, that was not coincidental. That was the Holy Spirit. The spirit bearing witness in my spirit. But when you're sitting around thinking about carnal things and everything else is more important than God, that's not God talking to you. That's the enemy trying to gain control of your soul through the voice of the body. And the body has a loud voice. So first thing to recognize about the body is it's earth-minded. It's earth-minded. Things that please the body, it's always the direction it wants to go. It will never talk to you about the things of God. It'll always opt for another way. Now, there are some things that your body will tell you, your body will speak, and there are some things that God has actually placed in order. Your body tells you when you're hungry, right? It's telling me right now, Pastor Dan. It's telling me right now. That's the voice of your body in that hunger pain. Also, you hear your stomach, you know, growling, as we say. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. That's God doesn't want you to starve to death, so he placed that in there. When you start to get hungry, your stomach will make noises, and you'll know it's time to eat. The problem is excess. It's always excess. Time to eat. You just get through. Time to eat again. No, you need to wait another 6 hours before you eat again. Ah, well, in between I'll have six snacks. How's that? And people get caught up, the voice of the body, that can be perverted, where people are eating so much that the body totally has control of them. That's why it's a good thing to get a hold of your appetite. It is a precursor when you can discipline your body and let your spirit have the rule and reign in you, the spirit of God in your spirit. I'll tell you something. When you say no to your body, you need to say no to your body today. It may want to do something, and it may want to shirk off the responsibility of getting into the word or praying for somebody or sharing Jesus, and your body would rather go and think about something else. Your body's always going to take the easy route out, and it's always going to be away from the things of God. Recognize who's trying to gain control of your mind, will, and emotions. It's not God. And what better thing to use than the body that you are in? Amen? It's true. So the second one, let me look here. Yeah, I jumped right past it. No, I didn't. The second one, turn over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. So Romans chapter 7 brings out some interesting things. This is that chapter where Paul talks about, you know, the thing I would do, I end up not doing. The thing I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. You ever been there? He's talking about decisions that he makes. And it seems like here's a decision before me, and I can make the right one, but I always end up making the wrong one. I always seem to give in to that. Well, this is, again, recognizing who's having control of your soul. Romans 7, verse number 24, look at it. It says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from what? The body of this death. You see that? Do you know that your body is a body of death? So I say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Dan. Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yes, there's a spiritual application and there is also a biological application. The biological application that pertains to your body is the minute that you are born, the clock is ticking. Right? The clock is ticking. What's going to happen someday? Unless Jesus returns for the church, we're going to die. That means we're going to be in an instant home with Jesus as believers. So you're, but Paul calls it this body of death. How did it become that way? Because God didn't create Adam that way. He created Adam out of the dust of the earth, yes. But that word afar in Hebrew means the minute particles of the totality of all that God is. And he breathed his ruach into him, his spirit, and gave him life. And man became a living nephesh, a living soul. But what happened? God gave a specific command. A lot of people miss this in the Word of God. It's in Genesis 2, verse 16. God gave a specific command of eating you shall eat, and eat of all the trees in the garden except that one. Right? You can eat. And you do a little study on that. You'll say, eating thou shalt eat. And he's saying, devour it. Eat of all of this. It's all for you, and all of them are good for you. In that list was the tree of life. And he was told to eat of that tree of life as well. But what happened? Oh, no, 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 no. They saw the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they were told, do not partake of that. There's one in the garden. There's no telling how many there were in that beautiful place. In that beautiful garden that they could have and should have and were commanded to eat of but did not eat of. So the first point of disobedience was not eating of those other trees that they should have been eating of. The second point of disobedience was when they ate of the wrong tree, right? And their eyes were opened. And what did the Lord say about that? After the fact, he made coats of skins and they were forgiven. And he said, now we got to get them out of this place lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. So he drove them out of the garden. He set an angel with a flaming sword that would keep them away from the tree of life. Right? That was the second point of disobedience. The first point was not eating of all the fruit that they should have in the first place. But isn't that just like man? Isn't that just like people today? I mean, come on. Don't blame Adam too much, because if you were there, you would have done the same stinking thing. Because people are people. And the enemy knows how to come against people and trick them and deceive them and pull them into an area that they really, if they thought more about it, wouldn't want to go there. Don't touch that tree. Now, they got all these that they could, but all their attention is focused on that one tree. Have you ever done that with something, you know? I can, you know, do any of this, go here, go there, but that's the one place I shouldn't go, and that seems to be the place that's pulling me to try to get me to go there. It's always the place. It's always the forbidden area that people want to investigate. It's like the time when we were in Lincoln's house, and I was told, I mean Abraham Lincoln's house. And they had up roping up. And from here to Ann was the desk that Abraham Lincoln sat down and wrote the Gettysburg Address. I am the last in the group. Ann and Austin are ahead of me in the park ranger. It's a national park. Park ranger's ahead. And we got a group. They're going down Lincoln's hall and the upstairs. And he's ahead talking, and I can hear him. There's about 20 people in our group. And I can hear him. And, you know, it says, do not enter. They got down the hall. They turned. They were going down the stairs. And I'm like, I go back over there. I got to touch that desk. I want to touch it. I want to touch the desk he wrote the Gettysburg Address on. And I go like this, and he comes around the corner. He goes, sir, you coming? I go, oh, yeah. My heart's going, thump, 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 thump. Oh, man, he could have thrown me out for that. Probably, you know, I mean, he probably wouldn't. You know, you're not supposed to do that. I was just going to lift my leg to go over that little barrier, touch it, and come back. I can't tell you how that made, I mean, I felt, I think he knew what I was thinking because I just must have flushed, you know, like, I'm good in front of people, but man, that one got me, you know. Anyway, that was interesting. That was what we were not supposed to do, and that's what I wanted to do. That's kind of that body nature, isn't it? Yeah, sure. So, anyway, did we read verse 24? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Uh-huh. Yeah, your body tends always in the direction opposite of God. It's just the way it is. Your flesh, Paul said it this way, he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And the sooner you recognize that, the better off you'll be. The devil's trying to get control of your soul through the voice of the body. Look at verse 23, back up a verse. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There is a law in your members that requires it to go opposite of God. It's called the law of sin. You see it right there in that verse 23. Do you see it? The law of sin. It's there. Somebody say, well, what is that? That's that fleshly nature. That's that part of you that needs to consistently have the word applied against it. The flesh. Anybody in here ever gotten into the flesh? Need I ask? After church, you're going to go to lunch. And just remember, you know, you're not supposed to overeat. And yet, people get in the flesh and they just can't, I just can't help it. That's that excess that I was talking about. That's the problem, getting into areas of excess. So there is, your body's earthly minded. It is a body of death, the scripture calls it. And there's the law of sin working in your members. Jump over to Galatians chapter 5 quickly. I need to wrap this up. Galatians 5, you're just to the left of it. Go a couple, three books to the right. Galatians 5, and here in Galatians 5 are listed beginning in verse 17. It speaks about the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Like Paul said, then I end up doing the things I didn't want to do. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Underline those three words, and such like. I don't know what your version says. Again, this is King James. It's not the only one. There are a lot of good versions. But it says, and such like, and that indicates to me that this is not a comprehensive list. That this is a listing, yes. But there are other things that would fall into the same category. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes on and starts talking about the fruit of the Spirit. On this list of these works of the flesh, literally, there is, the Amplified brings out the subject of selfishness. And that's the fourth one I want you to know. Your body is selfish. Your body only thinks about itself. Your body is concerned about you. You're the one with the needs. Every time I've done marriage counseling, I can tell you this unequivocally. He's not meeting my needs. She's not meeting my needs. It's always the other person's fault. It's always about me. I'm not getting out of this what I should get out of it. I'm the one being taken advantage of. I'm the one that's got such a raw deal here. Marriage is giving to your mate, amen? That's what marriage is about, giving to them. And then they give back to you, and you try to outgive one another. That's how it works. But marriages that get in trouble is normal. I'll tell you right now, selfishness is the number one problem in marriages that end up in trouble. What about me? You know, and that can roll over into different areas. Your body will speak to you, and it's always about you. It's never about preferring somebody else. It's never about putting that person ahead, because I'm number one. Have you ever been driving down the road and had somebody tell you you're number one? Just a question. The fifth thing. So your body is very selfish. That's how your body speaks. If you don't know how your body speaks to you, you won't recognize it when it comes up. You'll fall into that trap. Well, this is just the way I am, you know. No, your body's talking to you, and the enemy's trying to use it. You need to be cautious of this. Number five, the last one, rebellion. Your body is rebellion. Look at verse 20 of Galatians 5. It says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. What I've noticed is the body does not like to be told what it has to do. You're going to eat only this much. You're going to go and exercise. You're going to go to bed at a decent, you're going to get up, you're going to spend time in prayer, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. The body doesn't like to hear that. The body hates that. The body rebels against that. Well, the body rebels against authority. The body does not like authority. Turn to Romans chapter 13. In light of what we're seeing in the nation right now, all the rebellion that's going on against authority, the hatred for our president, I mean, my goodness sakes. You know, there's one thing that we are called to do. Every one of us. Pray for the leaders. Romans 13 brings out something here that we need to just touch on before we leave. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You see that verse 1? This last one is the body is rebellious against authority. That's a teaching people don't like to hear. But everybody needs authority in their life. In the husband and wife, the man is called to be the head. What does that mean? That he's better than the woman? No. That he's supposed to rule with an iron fist and keep her under his thumb? No. She's a helpmate who's called by his side. But somebody has to be the one who can break the tie, if you will. In the marriage, the man is called to make those decisions. Of course, he needs to talk with his wife. They need to pray about it. But somebody has to make a decision when they can't agree on something. We've had this before. Anne will say, I'm just going to yield to you. I know you hear from God. And I'm like, thanks. I'd like to yield to you. People are like, well, it'd be so good if I was the head. You know. We're supposed to pray for our leaders. We're supposed to pray, not complain. The offices, let every soul, be subject unto the higher powers. That's exousia, it's a Greek word, and it means authorities. For there is no power but of God. There's no authority but of God. The authorities that be are ordained of God. Now, the offices are ordained. The people that fill the offices may not be. God didn't place a president into office who says, kill all the babies you want, that's your choice. God didn't do that. Who did it? People, thank you. The office of president is ordained of God. It may not be the person that's in there, may not be. Israel ended up with kings they shouldn't have had. They wanted a king so bad. I mean, you go through and you start reading about these kings. Man, one's good and the other one, now he's got them all bound there in need of Baal again and they're all doing this and they're getting all this stuff. And trouble ensues. I'm telling you, the office is ordained. Not necessarily the purpose. Person that's in filling the office. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to pray for them. But I tell you what happens. You know, everything's good as long as they say something that we agree with. When they say something that we don't agree with, now we've got a problem with the authority. And I had a problem with the mask mandate when it came out. I thought, who do they think they are? And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, well, it's not going against the scripture for me to put a mask on. I don't like it. Fogs my glasses up, you know. Went into Atwood's the other day, and I'm breathing. I'm like, quit breathing. But you can't walk through the store holding your breath the whole time, you know. I'm like, oh, man. So I got smart. The other day when I went in there, took them off. You're a sharp knife in the drawer there, Pastor Dan. That's right. Yeah, so anyway, I didn't like it, but it didn't go against the scripture. It was nothing that violated the scripture. Now, if somebody in authority tells us to do something that violates the scriptures, then there's a place where you say, uh-uh, not going there. Really, there's no scriptural basis for civil disobedience if whatever they're telling you to do doesn't violate the word of God. We're supposed to pray for our authority. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I mean, some may not like to hear that, but it's really the truth. Well, let's just get done here what we need to get done. And get that guy out of there, or get that woman out, you know. I mean, they tried to impeach the president over a whole bunch of stuff that didn't add up to anything. Yeah. It was nothing but a coup. So they're trying to remove a sitting president for nothing. What in the world is that all about? Instead of working. No, I'll tell you something. That spirit that's trying to divide this country right now, we need to recognize what's going on. You need to be praying for the authority. Pray for the president. Pray for him. Is he a perfect man? No. You might be surprised to know that I'm not a perfect man and you're not a perfect man or woman either. Yeah, but the president's supposed to be perfect. We didn't hire him to be perfect. We hired him to do the things that a president's supposed to do. I don't agree with some of the things that, you know, the language that he might use from time to time, but I understand. He's not a politician. He's not trying to impress people. He's trying to get a job done. Now, my opinion, you can do it without expletives, but you know what? Whatever. I don't use them. I don't condone that. But I am a person who prays for the president. I pray for him when I think he's right. I pray for him when I think he's wrong. And I've done that through administrations that I did not agree with. The majority of what they stood for, their platform included killing babies, which right there, I don't want to be answering to the Lord one day when he says, why did you vote for that person that said it's all right to kill babies? I'm counting you as being part of that. That's serious stuff. Stand to your feet. That is serious stuff. Well, they promise. You know what? The moral issues are the ones I stand on the heaviest. I find something in the platform that diametrically opposes the word of God. How could I vote for that? How? Oh, men ought to be able to marry men, right? Show me that in the word of God. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Come on. Oh, that's racist. No. That's hate speech. I hate the devil. And I hate what the devil's trying to do in people and get them to do, and how he manipulates and tries to control their souls so they think like the way he wants them to think. And their body ruled, and everything is earthly minded and body minded, and what is going to please me. And if I have to discipline that, I'm out of here. God's not calling you to be an undisciplined man or woman of God. He's calling you to a greater discipline than where you're at right now, and you think you're disciplined now. He's calling you to deny some things that the enemy's thrown before you. Sure. Every one of us, I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just saying every one of us are in the same boat. Bow your head with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We thank you for your presence in us. And we thank you, sir, that we recognize our body likes to talk and our body likes to control things. And our body, fleshly desires, always trying to usurp the authority of the word. Trying to get us not to sit and hear the word of God. Trying to get us not to pray. Trying to get us to do something else. Anything other than reading the word. Anything other than hearing the word of God. My body's so important. We got to have family time. We can't go to church together. That, Lord, we need to recognize. We need to recognize what that's about. And Lord, I thank you that you are strengthening us and you're building us and you are taking us from a place of weakness and bringing us to that place of power and anointing where the anointing can and will flow through us. As we keep submitting our thoughts, our mind, will, and emotions over to you, to your word. Let our minds be renewed with that word. I thank you for it. And I praise you that we are not a bunch of weak, shaky-kneed Casper milk toasts. But we are men and women of Almighty God who have the creator of the universe dwelling on the inside of us. And we take authority over the devil, and we say no when the body tries to rise up and tell us to do things. No, body, you shut up. You're going to listen to me. My spirit has control over my body. My mind's not going in the gutter with the body. My mind is being renewed with the word of God. Thank you, Lord. That's the way we got to think. You trying to brainwash us? No, I want your mind washed with the word of God. Amen. Everybody's brains need to be washed in here. Thank you, Lord. Can you say amen?